This podcast may contain adult language and themes, or it might not. We're not really sure. We haven't recorded it yet.
I'm Jason.
I'm Diggs.
I make software, music, and podcasts.
I connect people, personally and professionally, and I like talking with Jason.
This is the Candy Factory 5x5 podcast.
Five conversations.
Five random topics.
5 minutes each.
When we hear this sound,
we move on to the next topic. Next.
On every episode, we invite a very special guest to join us.
Hey, my name is Paul Armstrong. I live here in Lancaster, and I am the founder and one of the partners of a little company called Enthusiproof. Stands for Enthusiastic Improvement. It's the only one on the planet, actually, if you Google that word.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Well done. So no problem with the domain? No problem getting
Well, actually, the big problem is never be too clever when you come up with a company name, because Google then thinks it's just random letters, and it gets caught in a lot of spam filters.
Oh.
So I usually have to end up sending a lot of mail from my Gmail account. Say, sorry about that.
Is that right? I never would have thought that. I would have thought that the uniqueness would be a benefit, but I can see how they would think it was a robo.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then when I first came up with the name, it comes from a Greek word. Enthusiastic is the Greek word, but in Greek it's spelled E-N-T-H-O-U-S.
Okay.
Enthousa.
Oh, okay.
And so I was going to have an Enthousa proof. But if you take the P and move it to the front, that's what Google does. It spells penthouse. So I found when I searched that word, it said, did you mean penthouse? Mm-hmm. I was like, no, I didn't mean that.
Actually, did not mean that. What do you do? I mean,
we do a type of management consulting. It started with a lot of performance and process improvement, Lean, Six Sigma, that kind of stuff. But what happened over the years was folks found out that I could get a lot of grumpy people to get along and work well together. So I end up doing a lot of team building.
Which is why we invited you here,
by the way. He's the grumpy one.
So
to help mediate Diggs and I in our...
Do a lot of... As a result, folks said, hey, you're good at getting folks to look out ahead. So executive teams have asked me to do strategic planning. That led to leadership development. So,
that's great.
So if you ask my clients, different ones, you probably get different answers.
Yeah. That's fun work.
Yeah.
Well, we're glad to have you here on 5x5. It's great to be back on 5x5 with you, Monsieur Diggs.
Thanks, you as well.
Let's go ahead and get started. Frank, the iPad has the topics queued up for us today.
Alrighty.
Let's see what Frank has in store for us. The first topic on today's episode of 5x5 is time.
I love it.
Ooh.
Time.
What do you love about time?
I love about time is that we all got the same amount. We get 24 hours every day.
That's true.
Fair point.
And when people say, well, I don't have enough time, I was like, "What? Didn't you get your 24 today?"
But you know what? It does seem to move at different speeds.
Oh, yeah.
How does that work?
No? Good. No, it does. And I've been wondering that myself, especially of late as deadlines start to come into view. And it's like, where did that come from? Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a man-made construct in a way.
Absolutely. It is.
I mean, the way we measure it and the way we, the way that we gauge how much time we have in a day on a deadline and that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But it's always been fascinating to me how, when I get up in the morning, for example, and the coffee's brewing because I said it the night before, and I smell the coffee. I go downstairs and I have a cup of coffee, and it's I don't know, 10 after 6.
Mm.
The next thing you know, it's 7:30 and I'm late. you know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
Like it absolutely flies. But then there are moments, of course, when I look at the clock and it's like 1 o'clock, 1:06, 1:12.
Uh-huh.
How does that work? And years are like that. You know, they say the older you get, the faster
absolutely.
It goes.
Absolutely.
So
maybe we should all be just about to have an accident. Because you know how when an accident's happened, things slow down?
Yeah.
You'd never really, you'd be able to see everything so clearly then.
That's a yeah. Thankfully, I haven't been in a major accident, but I got like, very lovingly bumped, I called it, while I was in a rental in Atlanta, and apparently they forgot that rain and oil sometimes means you need to give yourself extra stopping distance.
Right.
So yes, this woman didn't. But like I saw her coming. Like I just knew.
You knew it was going to happen.
Yeah. It just like, oh, well.
Here you go.
That's
and you actually have time time to process that.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I set the e-brake such as, I think it was a button instead of a pull, which didn't help all that much because I ended up, because of the rain and oil, slid sliding into the back of the van in front of me.
But you actually had, set the, like you took the moment to do that?
Yeah, because I was like, uh-oh. I think I literally said, uh-oh, and I pushed the button. Didn't do much, but yeah, I remember thinking like that so clearly. And then the next 5 minutes just went by. Because thankfully, the guy in front of me was from New York and was just like, yeah, whatever.
What, I'm going to take this another direction a second. Have you been in any car accidents, Paul?
I have been in several.
Several?
Oh, yeah.
Your fault? I'm not an insurance guy.
Yeah. A couple of them have been my fault. I've been whacked a few times.
Mm-hmm. Like the whole rear-ended thing?
Actually, front-end. First one was I was in high school. Mm. One of the few days I was doing my homework while in the car. So my head was down. This is in the old days, no seatbelts, and the metal dash.
You know, you're driving and doing homework?
No, my brother was driving.
Oh, okay.
Oh.
Yeah, I was friends don't let friends do homework and drive. Yeah. Right?
So, and the car hit my side of the car, and I just went right out of the seat and clunked the metal, what used to be metal dashboards in the old car. That was a 62 Nova.
Wow.
So that was the first one.
So the car, I mean, those cars are tanks.
They were tanks, but that did get totaled.
But you weren't, and without the seatbelt, right?
A little concussion, that was it.
So. Wow. I was rear-ended not long ago. I mean, last summer.
Yeah.
Up on Queen Street, it was like a rush hour kind of thing, and I just got this new van.
Oh.
This new black van, and I was all, like, into it.
Mm-hmm.
And I stopped, and I just was just sitting there, no notice. Like, I didn't see the... just like, boom. And, you know, accidents sound... so much more dramatic.
Yes, they do.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
Than they are. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, son of a bitch. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, here I am, you know, and all of a sudden I'm going to have this story about, I just, in my head, I could just see the whole back of my van just clobbered.
Mm-hmm.
And my head snaps back. I get out of the car, I walk around. I pulled over and flagged the guy to pull over. And I got out and went around. Not a scratch. I couldn't find where he hit it.
Yeah, well,
but he was, let's just say he was a little under the a few sheets to the wind.
In an altered state.
In an altered state. But yes. I was like, you know what? If he would have done serious damage, I would have been really jacked up. But I was just like, dude. Yeah. And his girlfriend came out flying out of the car after him. So I was like, you got way more to deal with. You know what I mean?
Maybe let her drive.
Maybe let her drive, but then, you know, God bless you when you get home, because she was pissed.
Before we leave time, though, apparently animals can tell time. My dog knows exactly 5 p.m. and 7 a.m.
It's the food cycle, huh?
I guess so.
Yeah. Well, speaking of time, we're out of it. On topic number one of this episode's 5x5. Number two for today is, come on, Frank, white chocolate.
Oh, white chocolate.
Specifically white chocolate.
White chocolate.
Wow. So that's the great riddle. Is white chocolate actually have any chocolate in it?
Is white chocolate chocolate?
Because my sister, for some reason, I think she just was trying to be different, but every Easter, she would say, oh, I want white chocolate. And to me, it's just like, why don't you just go ahead and pour some 10X sugar on a spoon? It's like...
what is it? Is it just sugar?
I think it's just sugar. And maybe it has
cocoa.
Like... I don't think it has any cocoa, but I wouldn't be surprised if it has vanilla.
Yeah, that wouldn't surprise me. I can see that. Yeah.
I remember
that. But it's kind of odd because vanilla is not white either.
Right.
Good point.
No, wait a minute. Okay, we got to break this thing down.
Yeah, I'm going to do some...
Are you doing some Googling over there?
Yes.
Diggs is Googling.
He's going to Google white chocolate, huh?
All right, so I have to say, I don't understand the whole mechanics of chocolate, white chocolate, all that kind of stuff. Maybe white chocolate is just sort of like one of those words that, you know, is something, but... it doesn't really mean what it, you know what I mean?
I think you're absolutely right.
Like they just call it that because it's a sweet or a treat, you know what I mean? But it's not actually, doesn't actually have anything to do with.
Yeah,
because
a box of chocolates isn't always all chocolate.
It's kind of like an eggplant.
Kind of like an eggplant?
Yeah, an eggplant doesn't have egg in it.
Oh, that's true.
Oh, I see.
But it's called an eggplant?
Good point. I think that's it was a translation mix up or something, if I remember right. Or it's based on the color.
So white chocolate is a translation?
No. Eggplant.
What do you mean it's based on the color? Like eggplant was the name of a color, and then they found this
purple plant.
This called vegetable.
No, I mean it's like what could? I mean it's almost so random, like eggplant. Like this looks nothing like an egg. Let's call it eggplant.
Right, so. and it's plant. Like there's nothing. It's a plant. Like what else? There's no like you know arm plant.
I got that backwards. Sorry, I didn't mean. I was trying to say it the other way, and then I mixed
up. Alrighty. So what's our white chocolate?
So it's characterized as a chocolate confection made from cocoa butter, sugar, and milk solids. White chocolate does not contain cocoa solids, which are found in other types of chocolate.
So it's cocoa.
It's from cocoa butter.
Cocoa butter.
Cocoa. So that always confused me. How did cocoa butter end up being white?
I don't know if I... yeah, that's a good question. It's, yeah, pale yellow. Cocoa butter, also called theobroma oil, is a...
Try to say that three times.
Oh, no.
Try to say it once.
is a pale yellow edible fat extracted from the cocoa bean. Yeah, but yeah, how? I don't know. I don't know why it's. Well, this says it's pale yellow.
I wonder if it's manipulated.
Must be.
Like sugar. Sugar isn't really white, right?
That's true.
And then
especially when it comes from beets.
Well, that's true.
Although the sugar that comes from beets, those beets aren't red.
Oh.
Whoa. They are. Sugar beets aren't red. They're paler.
Oh.
I mean, they're probably yellowish, tannish.
Right.
Okay. I did not know that.
The only thing I have to say about that thing you just read from Wikipedia or whatever, Diggs, is the words milk solid together, milk solids, that really turns me off.
That's a good, maybe I should click that
milk
one too.
Milk solids.
I might not read it out, but at least.
What the hell's going on?
I like
on?
How you said something about extracted from the cocoa bean. That just sounds painful.
Doesn't it?
Sounds like a cocoa bean. When he finds out he's going to become white chocolate, he's like, no.
Right. Oh, apparently milk solids is just another form of powdered milk or a reference to a dried milk. Apparently that's what they put in white chocolate instead of milk?
Milk? Dried milk.
Why would you do that?
There's a whole other thing about dried milk that I don't really understand. We'll have to add that topic to our list. That's, powdered milk.
That's a fair one.
What the hell's going on with that? One of the things that I thought of though when white chocolate came up is my favorite cookie is clearly the white chocolate macadamia nut combination. It's a conference cookie to me.
It's very much a conference cookie.
You have
cookie.
To explain conference cookie. Like it keeps you awake?
No, or? Like when you go to conferences, they always have those.
Oh. Yeah, it's just like, it's the thing.
It's the 3 o'clock in the afternoon at the conference, yeah. You know, the coffee break. When you're in the ballroom,
mm-hmm.
Yeah. and you know at 3 o'clock, you know, between sessions, ding. Between the 3 and 3:30.
Yep. It's which is unfortunate for me because I don't like it. But
you don't like it, and you go to a lot of conferences too.
This is true. It's funny because I've actually seen the higher ed, because I work in higher ed for my day job. They've been going more exotic with the break, like snacks.
Really?
There's been a lot of cannolis and like.
Damn.
Oh, whoa.
And, yeah,
that's
no,
really exotic.
Yeah, seriously. And what's those Blitzen? Is that what
the reindeer?
No, it's something with a B, and it's like a Danishy thing. Oh.
So fancy, we don't even know what the hell it is.
A blintz.
A blintz.
That's it. Thank you.
Blintz.
Yes. I don't know what a blintz is. I think you guys are just
we just made that up. Yeah.
Yeah. What are they? Macaroons? That's a hot one. That's a hot dessert.
I haven't seen that at. Not at higher ed conference. I'm sure they're somewhere. I'm sure there's.
I go to a lot of lowbrow conferences apparently because we're still doing the white chocolate and macadamia nut cookies big as your face.
I say if they're saving money on the break food by doing normal break food, I'm fine with that.
You good?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Well, that's all we have to say about white chocolate today.
This is true. And milk solids.
Topic number three for 5x5 today is the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Whoa.
You ever been there?
No, but my kids have. Scout troops. I used to live in Pittsburgh, so that was a popular weekend scout trip to shoot over to Cleveland.
That would be a great trip. I grew up in Western Pennsylvania, and I was a Boy Scout. But it was a long time ago, and there was no Rock and Roll Hall of Fame involved.
No, well, what? It was only built in the 80s, right?
Which would have been after my scouting.
Yeah. So
was that when it was built? The building was built in the 80s?
Yeah, because it was part of the whole Cleveland revival thing when they built the new Indian Stadium and, like, you know, they finally put the fire out on the Cuyahoga River and all that good stuff. I lived in Pittsburgh, you know. We made jokes, two kinds of jokes. Were Cleveland jokes and West Virginia jokes.
West Virginia,
jokes.
I was going to say. Yeah, absolutely, yeah. West Virginia jokes, yeah. So, Dix, where are you at with the Rock and Roll?
Well, I was, thank you for throwing in that it was in Cleveland because my first the plea was going to say, where is it? I've been to Cleveland. I have family in Cleveland, but never been. Usually we would be going through Cleveland to go somewhere else, unfortunately. Not unfortunately, but just, you know, yeah, for other family stuff. So no, I've never been. Why? So
what about the idea of it?
See, it's that's what I was wondering that myself. So, like, you know, baseball has that whole election and selection process, and like you have to be out of it for a certain number of years. Mm-hmm. And so is there a similar one? And if there is, there's got to be a TV show about that, because every other award's on TV.
Yeah, they don't. I don't think they broadcast it. You can see videos of the inductions mm-hmm. every year
mm-hmm.
Through, you know, YouTube or whatever. Yeah. And there's always, I read a lot of music magazines, online
yeah.
blogs or whatever. And every year when that time comes around, you know, it's just post after post of like the performances, and because it's always like, you know, some legendary band gets inducted into the Hall of Fame.
Is it just like one or two a year?
No, I think it's a handful. I don't know for sure. It feels like maybe a dozen.
Okay.
That feels like the right number. And it's 25. You have to be a recording artist for 25 years.
Oh, okay.
That's sort of the cutoff.
I was going to ask.
Yeah. So you're starting to, it's in the
no one song wonders in the Hall of Fame.
No one song wonders. Well, I guess they could right. technically, as long as they've as long as the recording was.
They do that same song for 25 years.
Yeah. I don't think there's any like that they have to record X number of records or record one. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
I don't know about that criteria.
Hmm.
But the only criteria that I know for sure is that it's, and you know, come to think of it, I don't even know for sure. But it's something like 25 years.
So who votes on it?
Well, that's the thing.
Mm-hmm. Okay,
it's sort of like certifications today. you know how you can kind of spin up a certification.
Yes.
In fact, about 3 years ago, I was doing some side work, running this website for software developers and coaching on project management uh-huh. that sort of thing, and all these business mentors that I talked to told me I should create a certification, and that felt so icky to me. You know what I mean? Like, what do you mean, just make up a certificate? They're like, yeah, you need to make a certification. Like, another one? Do it, like, and it's me who's just, I'm going to go make it up on Saturday?
Yeah.
And then start JMC, getting people to...
Jason Mundock certification. In, what was the idea?
Well, it was in the software development project management methods that I was using. See? But it just, that felt like, I don't know who's supposed to make them. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I don't know what body is that I feel would have that governance over some process. But it just felt like a little weird. And then a lot of the rock bands that I've listened to over the years, not all of them have been excited about being part of. Like, that wasn't a big deal to them, because apparently it's like some private, you know, body that just sort of picks.
Oh,
like, I don't think there's, because there's no like official, there's no like league or yeah. like official. You know what I mean? Like, I can understand.
How do you know you were actually a rock and roller?
Right.
You know, like you can't like get into the Baseball Hall of Fame by playing, you know, street ball.
Right, exactly.
You could have been the greatest guy, right? You could have been the greatest baseball player of all time.
Absolutely.
You just didn't play in the major leagues.
Right. So yeah. you don't get to qualify.
Yeah.
Same with the NFL, right? The NFL yep. is the NFL. Like, there's right. a criteria. But rock and roll is just rock and roll.
Yeah.
Right? And that's kind of what I don't know.
That's
I don't know
weird.
Who makes it who makes this up.
And there's like borders of rock and roll. You know, I mean, like,
oh, sure.
How about if you only did the rock part, like,
and not the roll,
and not the roll part?
That's true.
That's a fair you point.
Wasn't
Radiohead recently
like Gangsta Rock? Is that also roll? I don't know. Does it roll?
It might not roll.
I didn't know there was Gangsta Rock.
Yeah, Radiohead was like, yeah, we're not going to that.
Yeah, but they were inducted.
Yeah, but yeah. they were like, yeah, they were asking like, are you excited? Are you attending the? And they were like, no, like, we're not going. We're not going to that.
It means I have to go to Cleveland.
Right?
Absolutely.
It's a pull. Now I get it. It's just, how can we increase tourism?
That's right. So we need to just make something like that up in Lancaster.
There we go.
Some kind of Hall of
no,
Fame.
No, we're good.
The 5x5 Hall of Fame.
Actually, I endorse that.
Topic number 4 for today's episode of 5x5 is...
this is when I can't see it.
It's the little pocket... in the bigger pocket of jeans.
Oh. I think this is a Chad O contribution for another guest on 555.
Oh, really?
There was a day we were spitballing topics, and I just was adding them when I as he was talking. I find that pocket annoying. I know that it had a purpose, but there, I used to wear the more like utility pants, mm-hmm. or utility jeans, and those that pocket would be like slightly bigger than on regular jeans, and I would put like
you would lose stuff.
Yes, because like coins, it, like especially like I would be moving quickly to put the coins in my pocket, put them in the wrong one, and then you can't get it out. It's like.
You need to start taping string to your coin no, so you can pull it out.
It's there. It's part of a savings plan. Because you put money in there and you forget. And then the next time you put the jeans on, you accidentally, hey, look, I can get ice cream.
I guess the question is, does the change fall out of that pocket in the washer?
It's got to get out of there somehow. And that's, you put it this way, I like it for that reason that like if I have a couple bucks, but you can't get it out of there without looking like a doofus.
No, that's totally true.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's totally true. You're just sort of really working it.
Yeah. That's exactly right. He's got it. Yeah. It's a shame there's not a video part to this.
Here we go.
Yeah. You should do a YouTube video on how to get money out of the little pocket in the big pocket. There's got to be like an elegant way to do that.
There's no elegant way to do that.
I bet the Brits have found a way.
Yeah.
They can do the elegant like pocket watch check nonsense, you know, so they figured it out.
Is it always the right side? The little pocket in the big pocket?
Oh, that's a good I think
where's yours?
Yeah. No,
we're all jeaned here. Yeah. All three of us are wearing jeans. Mine's true.
I've got actually this is like a my whole hand fits. I could get something out without looking like a doofus.
You got a big pocket in the little
I've got a big A big little pocket.
Like a medium size.
Those are the ones that I hate the most because that's the one you think you're in the real pocket and nope, gone forever until the next time you.
You know what it might be good for?
Yeah.
When you rent a car. Because you know when you rent a car, they give you both fobs at the same time?
Yeah.
And like it leaves a bruise on your leg. So maybe that's like you could just get one fob in there.
It's the fob.
And the
pocket.
Other fob would hang out.
That's a good idea.
Yeah.
I like that. Especially now that more of them are like push start rentals. Yeah. And that's the other thing. Like, why this is, I have a mini rant about the two keys things. Like,
oh, bring it.
Why?
With the other thing on it says, if you lose the key.
Right. So you're going to blame me for losing two when you put them on. Just separate it.
Wait. I haven't rented a lot of cars recently. And when I do, it's really, really lowbrow. So I'm still putting the key in the little thing and turning it. So explain to me, what are you talking about this two key thing?
So at least Enterprise.
Enterprise gives you both fobs mm-hmm. on one undetachable thing. So
and
you have
the
to carry around
huge.
Both fobs.
And the loop is huge. It's not a small loop.
Oh, you can't get it off.
Yeah.
No.
No, you have to carry both fobs.
Mm-hmm. In addition to the plastic tab that tells you how much it is if you lose a key.
But you can't lose a key without losing both.
Correct.
Exactly. It's a racket.
I totally understand why you're pissed off.
And so the thing is huge. It does it because you know the fobs were not made to go together.
Of course not.
So they always are on an angle
mm-hmm.
because that's as best as they fit together. And then it sticks out, and you have this odd looking shape sticking out of the side of your leg,
and it hurts.
Yeah.
I wonder if they ever trigger the alarm.
Yes, I have.
Oh, yeah.
By rubbing together.
No.
You know what I mean? Like because there's extra. Stuff there. Nope. I just did it the other day. I was reaching in my little pocket in the bigger pocket of jeans to get that quarter out. Mm-hmm. I must have been at Aldi, and my alarm, my panic button starts going off.
I set off,
and then
alarm.
Of course I panic to
right,
try to
of course.
Get the damn
and
thing.
Like, oh no, where's it? Yeah, I set off an alarm at a conference that I was leaving early, and the parking lot was like it was on the first floor of this place, and I had to get to my flight. And I don't remember what was in my pocket. I needed to get something else. Oh, I was handing off a something.
Whatever.
Doesn't matter. I was giving a tip. I had a dollar in my pocket, and I was just
there. In the little pocket?
No, it was in the regular pocket. But somehow I hit the panic button as I was pulling the dollar out of my pocket because it wasn't in my wallet. To put it in the woman who was serving the coffee, she had a little tip jar. And in my doing that, just beep, beep, And of course, then it's a break, and everybody's out in the little foyer, and I'm like,
oh, who's leaving early?
Yeah, bye.
I guess the bigger question is, did they serve white chocolate and macadamia nut cookies?
No, that was the cannolis and
blintz.
Yes, thank you.
Thank God we're done with the little pocket and bigger pocket of jeans, because I had no idea where we were going to go with that. So well done. Well done on the double fob rant. Our final topic for today's 5x5 is favorite candy.
Ooh.
Wow.
Ooh.
Ooh.
Jeez. Mm. It depends on...
Depends on what, the season?
No.
it's seasonal.
But that's a fair point. That's
Cadbury, yeah. Eggs.
Ooh. It's always a favorite.
Peppermint.
I'd have to say mine is the dark chocolate that's got orange in it. Lindt makes it, and Aldi has their own brand of Lindt chocolate, but it's whatever, 80%. It's really dark, kind of bitter. But they put, I think it's the orange peel in there.
Mm-hmm. It's like candied a little bit.
No, I don't know. You can hardly see it.
That's a fair point.
Because the bar is still just a bar.
Mm-hmm. Right. So it's mixed in there, yeah, but it's got that.
It's the perfect 3 p.m. wake me back up piece of chocolate.
Got that hint of citrus.
Yeah. Mm. That could be it.
Yeah. That's a good one.
That is a good one.
Biggs, I'm waiting for you, man.
Yeah. Well, Wilbur Buds. Love popping Wilbur Buds.
Let me ask you a question about Wilbur Buds. Mm. I'd never heard of a Wilbur Bud before I moved to this area in 1999.
Me neither.
Yeah.
What's the story there?
Oh, they were in Lidditz.
Well, I know they were in Lidditz, but I mean, are Wilbur Buds out there in the world, or is it really a Lancaster County kind of central PA thing?
Oh, I don't know.
You know, like a Hershey Kiss. I mean, you could go to Mexico, or you could go to Germany and get a Hershey Kiss, and everybody, you know what I mean? Like, I'm assuming that. Correct me if I'm wrong. If anybody's been to Mexico and couldn't find a Hershey Kiss, but you know, my assumption is that the Hershey Company is selling their candy all over the universe. Mm-hmm. So, but Wilbur Buds, like, I rolled into town 20 years ago, and someone said something about Wilbur, and I was like, what's Wilbur? And they were like, it's a chocolate company in Lidditz. It's a big operation.
Mm-hmm.
In fact,
mm-hmm.
one of my first temp jobs here was driving samples between the Wilbur factories.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Oh.
So I was like a Kelly temp, you know. Yeah. I had done a lot of that in Nashville when I lived down there, so I had a lot of experience with temping.
Oh, cool.
So I rolled into town. I needed a job, so I went to the temp agency, and they were like, the guy who drives the chocolate samples, like between the labs, is going on vacation for 2 weeks, and we need someone to drive. Huh. So they were just hiring a temp, which was smart, right? It's like, I don't know, $9 an hour, $10 an hour, something like that. So I just went and hung out with this guy for a day, wrote down the route, and I spent 2 weeks driving between, it was Mannheim, well, Lidditz, and I don't think I had to stop in Mannheim. There's a place in Mount Joy that, they have a lab in Mount Joy, they have the big place in Lidditz, and there was a third one.
Hmm.
Maybe it was Mannheim. And I would just kind of do this run, and it lasted all day.
Wow.
I would go to one place, and they would have a box, pick up the box, go to the next place.
White chocolate in the box or brown?
Brown chocolate.
All brown.
As far as my memory serves, and it's been a long time.
Yeah.
But I remember there was this one, I don't have really any other recollection of that gig except that a very nice woman in distribution gave me a bag on my last day. And I was there for like 2 weeks. Isn't that sweet?
That's nice.
So I got very familiar with them. But yeah, going back to it, like I don't know if I polled my friends who don't live in Lancaster, if they've ever heard of a Wilbur Bud.
Well, I feel like it's the same thing with like Hammond's pretzels.
Yeah. Like,
never heard of that. I mean, I realized I had seen the bags because they do distribute the bags of pretzels outside of PA. But if people just saying it's like, oh, we're going to Hammond's. We're going to go pick up some Hammond's. Like, what?
What's a Hammond's?
What are you talking about?
Yeah.
And then I realized once I went there and saw the tin and the coloring, I was like, oh, the
Got
pretzels.
It. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, you just said pretzels.
In any event, though, what's your favorite candy?
I said Wilbur Buds. I also like Twix.
Okay.
If that counts as a candy bar. M&M's was my like thing I would sneak into school as like elementary school. Like, you're not supposed to eat in class, but you could fit it in a pocket. Like,
right.
If it was cold.
Right.
And just like.
I think I have to go with the peanut butter mix stuff. like a pretty much anything Reese's peanut butter cup like. Like they make all the fancy stuff for the holidays and
yeah,
or the peanut butter eggs at Easter time. Mm-hmm. Anything that's got the like the cat was it cat
peanut butter eggs?
Yeah, peanut butter eggs.
I don't.
It's like chocolate eggs filled with peanut butter.
Right.
Who makes that?
That's why I said I think
Wilbur. Seriously, they do.
Oh, they did. Oh, I'm sorry.
No, I think Cadbury has a famous one.
Really?
Maybe.
Yeah.
Okay.
All the candy stores have them.
Oh,
I just sometimes they're really big.
I mean, that's just kind of my jam. You know what I mean? But I love dark chocolate, the bitter stuff too.
Me too. Mm.
I haven't had the orange. I should try that.
You gotta try it. Yeah. I think it's called Intense. Intense orange. Intense.
Yeah, it sounds intense.
Well, it's not a portmanteau. There's nothing else.
in any event.
I'm trying to think if they're seasonal. Well, then I won't think of it.
maybe we'll put a topic called seasonal favorite.
We still haven't figured out what we were talking about before the show, have we?
Nah, we had 25 minutes and just blew it.
There you go. So see how fast that went? I was actually going to say that during our time segment that this show goes fast.
Yeah.
That is a fast 25 minutes.
It is.
Agreed.
And so there it is. That was the 25. We're done. Indeed. Thank you, Paul, so much for joining us on 5x5. Great to have you.
Okie doke.
The Candy Factory 5x5 podcast is recorded at the studios of The Candy Factory, a co-working campus in Lancaster, Pennsylvania.
The show is produced and hosted by Jason Mundock,
along with co-host Robert Diggs, regularly joining the Yakety Yakking.
The opinions and views expressed on this podcast
are solely those of the expressor.
The Candy Factory is not in any way responsible if anyone said something stupid.
Our theme music was composed
and recorded by a really cool guy.
Really cool guy.
A really cool guy.
Really cool guy named John Chin.
Relevant links and show notes can be found on the show post
at the Candy Factory website.
CoworkingInLancaster.com.
Maybe that's it.
Is that it? Okay.